Chapter 3. Hijra. Everybody in Mecca was immediately aware of Muhammad's new vulnerability. Abu Lahab did not repudiate Muhammad. A chief was expected to give all his clansmen a measure of protection, and to fail in this duty at the very start of his office would have been a sign of weakness. But it was obvious that he extended his patronage very grudgingly. Muhammad's neighbours played disgusting tricks with the sheep's uterus, thwacking him with it while he was at prayer, and once even dropping it into the family cooking pot. One day, a young Qureshi threw filth all over Muhammad while he was walking in the city. When his daughter Fatima saw him in this state, she burst into tears. "Don't cry, my little girl," Muhammad reassured her tenderly while she tried to clean him up. "God will protect your father." But to himself he added grimly, "Quraysh never treated me thus while Abu Talib was alive." His weakness probably affected the position of some of the more vulnerable Muslims. Abu Bakr, for example, had been almost ruined by the boycott. He lived in the district of the Juma clan, and its chief, the corpulent Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who used to expose Bilal to the sun, now felt free to do the same to Abu Bakr, tying him to his young cousin and leaving them, parched and sick, in this humiliating position in the sweltering heat. Time, their clan, was too weak to protect them. So, realizing that he had no future in Mecca, Abu Bakr set off to join the Muslim emigrant community in Abyssinia. But on the road, he met Ibn Dugunna, one of the Bedouin allies of the Quraysh, who was horrified to hear what had happened. He insisted on returning to Mecca and formally took Abu Bakr under his own protection. Since the Quraishian establishment was anxious to cultivate Ibn Dugunna, they agreed to this arrangement, but asked him to make sure that Abu Bakr did not pray or recite the Quran in public. He was so popular and charismatic, they explained, that he would lure the young men away from the official religion. So Abu Bakr worshipped alone, making a little masjid, a place for prostration, in front of his house. But the situation was clearly unsatisfactory. Muhammad tried to find a new protector for himself in the pleasant, fertile oasis of Taif, but it was a hopeless venture, which revealed the measure of his desperation, because the tribe of Thaqif had been greatly offended by Muhammad's repudiation of their goddess Alat. Muhammad visited three of the leaders of Thaqif, asking them to accept his religion and extend their protection to him, but they were so enraged by his effrontery that they had their slaves chase him through the streets. He was only able to escape by diving into the garden of Utba ibn Rabia, one of the chief Meccan Kafirun, who had a summer home in Taif. Utba and his brother Shaiba saw Muhammad's humiliating flight, but did not wish to hand a fellow tribesman over to the Thaqif. So, instead of reporting Muhammad, they sent a slave to him with a platter of grapes.